Welcome to the Real Turf Techs Podcast, for the technician that wants to get real. Follow along as we talk to industry professionals and address hot topics that we all face. Along the way, we'll learn tips and tricks. I'm your host, Trent Manning. Let's have some fun. Welcome to the Real Turf Techs Podcast, episode 102. Today, we're talking to John Watson, CTEM, equipment manager at Wyclef Country Club in Palm Beach, Florida. Wyclef Country Club is a private 36-hole facility on 600 acres. John has two techs helping him in the shop. Let's talk to John.
Welcome, John, to the Real Turf Techs Podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Trent. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks so much for being here, and we'll get right at it. Tell us how you got into the turf industry.
I got into the turf industry about 8 years ago. I kind of had probably a little bit different go than a lot of guys. I didn't have a big mechanical background or golf course background prior to coming into the industry. I worked just about every job you could think of. I did heating and air for a little while. I did have a short stint at an auto shop. It lasted less than a year, mostly changing oil, things like that, and decided actually that was not going to be the route I was going to go, and got into waiting tables and bartending. Yeah. So
a little bit of everything. You were
right. And I did that for a while, I would say probably about 5 or 6 years. And I actually did enjoy it. I do enjoy people. And anyways, I actually had a roommate at the time who was a spray tech at a golf course. And I knew that waiting tables and bartending wasn't gonna be like a forever gig. So I did want to try to find a career path. And he was like, you know, come over to the golf course, I get you a job. It's just gonna be entry level, but you don't really know anything. So just try it out and see if you like it. So I went over there, started out in the bunkers, raking bunkers every day, slowly graduated to a greens mower.
Really? Let's back up just a second. So you started raking bunkers.
Yeah.
Did you ever use a fly mower?
Oh, I used a fly mower a lot in the summertime in South Florida.
Okay.
Fly mowing bunkers. So graduated to the greens mower, really enjoyed the process. I actually enjoy mowing.
Mm-hmm. One of the few.
Yeah. I was kind of artistic in high school, and I don't know if this makes a lot of sense, but the greens, the fairways, tees, everything, when you get those nice stripes on it, it's like a form of art to me. And
for sure.
There's just like a sense of satisfaction whenever I would get, you know, cut those lasers, man, the straight lines. And I did realize pretty quickly that I wanted to make a career out of it. I actually at that time was thinking about going to school and trying to become a superintendent, go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I had tried the mechanic thing before and, you know, I didn't feel like it was for me at the time. Mm-hmm. But about a year and a half into being an equipment operator, I did work my way up to a fairway mower tip and sell.
Okay.
I got on everything except for I was never on a sprayer. I never got into the spraying. So just about every other piece of equipment though, I got pretty good at operating.
Mm-hmm.
And the assistant mechanic at that course at the time was leaving, getting out of the industry. And the equipment manager there, I was pretty friendly with. I would always ask him a lot of questions. That's just kind of how I've always been. Just anything that I do, I'm just always asking questions. I just want to know how things work.
That's how we rope you in.
Yeah.
The people that start asking questions, the operators on the crew, they start asking questions. Why are you doing this? How does this work? All those things. Next thing you know, you're an equipment manager.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I speak from experience because I started much like you. I just started on the crew, raking bunkers, fly mowing greens, worked my way up to fairways. You know,
yeah.
I did irrigation for 6 months because we needed irrigation tech, and then our assistant mechanic left. And I'd been asking so many questions over the last 3 years. The head mechanic says, you want to work in the shop with me? I said, of course. So anyway, that's the way we get you in.
Yeah,
ask a
absolutely.
Lot of questions. We love people that are curious.
Yeah. So I did agree to, you know, step in there and try it out and give it a go. I was still part-time on the crew at first. So it was like half on the crew, half in the shop. It was just an 18-hole facility. So it was something, you know, about 1.5 people could handle.
Mm-hmm.
So, but eventually that grew into me being in there full-time. Probably after about 6 months, I decided that's what I wanted to do. I was an assistant there for like 6 years, which I think really listening to a lot of other people's stories, it seems like they have kind of a shorter run as an assistant maybe. But for me, like I said, I didn't have that background skill set to work mm-hmm. off of. So it was a learning curve and that equipment manager that I worked for started from scratch with me. But
mm-hmm.
they got a pretty good work ethic. So I think he saw that and you know, he saw something in me to allow me to come in there full time. And it was a great opportunity. And it really did change my life because I had no direction. There was no career in mind. I mean, things weren't necessarily great, bouncing from job to job, trying to figure out what I wanted to do and seeing all the people around me, you know, finding career paths and going about their life. So yeah, I'm super grateful for this industry. It gave me a career and future. And
awesome. That's so good.
Yeah.
So all in, how many years have you been in the turf industry?
Eight and a half.
Okay.
I would say
that's awesome.
About right. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I would not feel bad that you spent 6 years as a system mechanic or any,
yeah.
you know, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Everybody has a different path.
Yeah.
And we all go at different speeds and do different things, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Yeah.
And back like to my story. So I was a system mechanic, I think for about 3 years
okay.
and then the head mechanic left
mm-hmm.
and they moved me up and I was way too young. I was probably 19 or 20. And,
wow.
And really thought I had it all figured out. And
yeah.
looking back, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Still today and been in the industry since 95.
Yes.
Still ain't got it figured out. But at that time I thought, oh yeah, I got it figured out. And the way my brain works, I kind of got bored because I thought I had it figured out. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved on and done some different things. So I think like your background and working a lot of different jobs, I mean, those give you all kind of different experiences too and good information on how to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think looking at it now, like I think it was a good path because I did pick up a lot of other skills that if I had solely been in golf course my entire life, I may not have picked up. Especially the dealing with people and the things, it kind of translates because as equipment managers, we deal with people all day as far as like the crew goes, your bosses, and I don't have a whole lot of interaction with the members, but I know some guys do. But so, yeah, I think that was actually a really good skill that I was able to carry over.
So, yeah, no, for sure. And I think in the episode that dropped or last week or a couple of weeks ago with Danny, we were talking about that too, because there's so many of us that are in the industry and we're really good at what we do. And we ended up getting, you know, promotions, whether you're an EM or a superintendent, you know, you got a good work ethic and you're knowledgeable about the subject that you're doing. And then the next thing you know, you're a manager and
yeah.
we don't know anything about dealing with people or managing people. And honestly, that's the hard part. Because the
Absolutely.
Piece of equipment doesn't show up late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't backtalk you. It doesn't sass you. You
That's
know,
the truth.
Any of these things. It either works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So a lot easier dealing with equipment than yeah. people.
That's the truth.
And yeah, if you worked on one fly mower, you worked on every fly mower. You know what I mean? They're not that much different. Their colors are different. you know, and even if you look at the big three on a fairway mower, there's subtle differences there, but I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, they're still doing most of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what is your least favorite part of the job and why is that sand?
So sand is actually my least favorite part of the job, but not in the way that you think. I truly enjoy grinding. I really do like it. I do probably 65, 70% of the grinding in my shop. I do have two assistants also, two techs. Sorry, I try not to use the word assistant. I don't really like
them. Well, no, but, no, that's all good.
But I don't like sand because it never fails. We go through, we clean the shop. We're pretty meticulous about keeping a fairly clean shop floor when we have the time, which is most of the time. But everyone just thinks that they can just pull their cork right through the shop. And there's a lot of sand down here in Florida. I'm sure there's sand everywhere too. So you guys can probably relate. And if not, I'm sure it's dirt too. So it's the same kind of concept. Is it just immediately after cleaning, they run right through and it really bothers me to have a dirty shop floor. I just can't stand it. So
no, it's tough and it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And like where my course is at, we're solid red clay everywhere. But
yes.
Our parking lot is full of sand.
Not perfect.
And they drive through that on their way to the show. And so to back up a little bit, our wash area was right next to the sand piles, and that was a nightmare.
Yes.
And since then, we've moved the wash area close to the shop, so they do drive through the sand, then they wash the equipment up, and it is much better.
Yeah.
But not just the sand, the amount of dirt comes into a maintenance facility. Meteors coming through.
Yeah.
And that's where dust comes from. No.
Sorry.
I'm snowballing here. Going downhill quick. That's where they say dust comes from, but no, it comes from all the sand in my parking lot.
Absolutely. Tires and shoes, just that's the carrier. It just brings it right in.
Brings it right in, for sure. What's your favorite tool?
I got like a two-parter for this. My favorite tool that I just acquired, and I'm slowly getting time to use it more and more, and I love it the more I use it, is a plasma cutter. I got a Hypertherm XP30, I think is the model on it. It's a really good to handheld. I would like to eventually graduate to a machine table with the plasma cutter, but for now we're just learning on the hand one. And it's, you know, compared to like a hand grinder, any place that you can use it over a hand grinder, it's so much more efficient, not as loud. You don't get metal shavings in your shirt, you know, stuff. So I'm really loving that. But my day-to-day probably favorite tool is just my pocket light. I know you've talked about the stream lights a lot. I need to look into those. Mine is a Lawson product. It's just a rechargeable pocket light. It's magnetic, and then it has the UV light on one side and has the LED on the other.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I haven't found a lot of uses for the UV light yet.
Let me know if you do.
Absolutely. I'm figuring that one out.
While we're talking about light, they make all the, you know, I mean, there's a ton of lights out there, a ton.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the headlights so I used to fish and, you know, a lot, and it is nice to have a headlight, and everyone has all this gimmicky stuff on it, you know, a red flashing light, a green light that flashes, and I just want a freaking light.
That's it. Just a powerful light. I'm a fisherman too. So I completely understand one good light that doesn't run out of battery in 2 days and is waterproof.
Yeah, easy to turn on. That's all we want. It doesn't have to be complicated.
I get it.
Absolutely. You don't have to put a bunch of frills on it. I just want the light so I can see what I'm doing.
Yes.
And then as you get older, you need glasses to see how to tie a knot on your fishing hook.
I'm not quite there yet, but I'm sure I'll get there.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
I can see up close. Okay. But I got astigmatism and that really drives me crazy.
Yeah.
All distance stuff and really shooting. Mm-hmm. So the shooting sport, you know.
Yeah.
That's tough with astigmatism and the red dot scopes. You mm-hmm. see a red dot oval.
It's not
a dot.
Really?
It's an oval. Yeah. And it's, I remember like before I figured out I had astigmatism, I'd go in wherever and I'd look at the red dots and I was like, these things are such crap. I would see like three dots. These things are terrible. Why would somebody want to use one of these?
That is funny.
But yeah, even corrected, it still looks more like an oval than a round dot. But anyway, enough about my bad vision. The light that I carry now is a Streamlight Wedge.
Okay.
And I've been pretty happy with it. It's rechargeable too. They're not
nice.
Cheap, but I mean, that's a good light.
And you get what you pay for. You know, that's a tool. Yeah. It's like, I've had all the cheap ones. They all suck. This one is a more expensive model as well, but I've had this one for going on 2 years now. And I mean, I dropped it, beat that's it up, awesome. Dropped it in oil pans. I mean, everything, and it's held up. So,
yeah, actually, I took a video. I never like tweeted it or anything like that, I don't think. But anyway, I carried a Streamlight Stylus Pro, and it takes two AAA batteries. Mm-hmm. And I would say, hands down, they make them now that's rechargeable, but hands down, that's probably the best light I've ever had.
Nice.
I just love it. It's awesome. But anyway, back to the story. I drop it into used engine oil and so perfect. I did a video. You know, and it was on when I drop it in. I did a video of dumping the oil out and then the light still being on. I don't know. I need to send it to Streamlight.
Yeah, man, they might want to use that for advertising.
Yeah. Could use it for something. But those are really good lights, and those are not too expensive. The battery lights are like 20 bucks or something.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
And I've been using those probably for 15 years, and I think I went through maybe 3 in 15 years, something like that. So I mean, there's a good service life for 20 bucks.
Absolutely.
And the one I got now, I think it's going on 2 years.
Okay.
Any issues out of it, but we've probably bored everybody enough with my Streamlight flashlight talk, so we'll move on to the next question. What do you do to relax or find your balance?
So I am a pretty big fisherman. Yeah, I do a lot of snook and tarpon fishing down here. I'm in South Florida, so those fish are everywhere. They're big fish. They're fun to fight, and I've been doing that since I've lived in Florida. And I was hooked after the first tarpon. I hooked.
got me
in there, man. Just fighting those fish. We typically try to target the larger ones out around jetties here. That's kind of the easy way to go about it if you don't have a big fancy boat. I do it from kayak. So kayak and shore mostly. Yeah, man, I love it. I've caught some pretty big ones down here. So
is saltwater kayak fishing pretty popular?
Yeah, extremely popular here. I don't know if it is everywhere. I would assume it probably is, though.
Speaking from freshwater side of things, kayak fishing has exploded, I would say, in the last 5-6 years. I mean, there's just so many people that are freshwater kayak fishing.
Yeah.
So I kind of assumed that maybe they were doing that in the ocean, too.
Yeah, it's such a cost-effective way to get on the water, too. You know, if you don't have the budget or the room to store a boat or things like that, it allows you to still get out there. Mine's capable of going offshore. I don't do that a lot just because I'm kind of a chicken.
Well, no.
But it is a possibility with that one. Mm-hmm. So pedal drive, too. So I don't even paddle. I just kick my feet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's
so is it Hobie?
Yeah, it's a Hobie Outback.
I guess
that's the one. It's the Rolls Royce, man, of the kayak.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. Yeah. So the local bait and tackle store here that I've been going to for most of my life, it's called The Dugout, and they're a Hobie dealer.
Nice.
And really pushing that, and they sponsor a bunch of tournaments, the kayak tournaments and all that stuff. Do y'all have that for saltwater?
Yeah, we do. I don't participate in them much. I'm more of a kind of like fish on my own thing. I just, I don't even keep fish really. I'm more of just kind of like a let them go guy. I try not to take, I take them out of the water for as minimal time as possible and get a picture and get them on their way. You know, I want to conserve that resource for the next generation coming up. So.
When all the bass fishing tournament I've done, I mean, it's catch and release.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with keeping fish.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with it, but.
No, absolutely not.
I don't eat freshwater fish for the most part.
I hear
part.
You. I probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, the daily or the weekly creel limit is like one fish out of my local lakes are out here per week.
Oh, okay.
So, because of mercury content or whatever.
Oh, but wow. Anyway,
Yeah. So
away from that.
Plus, the saltwater fish taste so much better.
They do. Yeah. Yes, I agree with you.
They really do. What's been your biggest challenge today?
So I think you touched on it a little bit. Kind of the management side of things, management of people and management of the shop. It wasn't something I was super familiar with or ready for, I think, when I took the job. I actually had a conversation with my former superintendent when I was in the interview process for this job, you know, and that's what I was telling him is I was like, my main concern is I don't know that I'm ready to manage people, manage the shop. And he gave me some really good advice, which I now agree with them is that to make that next jump, a lot of people aren't ready and you just kind of have to have a strong work ethic and be able to figure it out. It's something that you figure out over time. It's not like a book you can read on it. I mean, the application of it is another story. So I think that has been my biggest challenge to date.
Yeah, for sure. What's the strangest thing you've seen at work?
So I would say we had last year. No, it would have been 2 years ago now. 2 years ago now, like right when I first started as the equipment manager where I'm at now, we had a guy put a Toro workman into a canal. And the canal systems here in Florida are pretty crazy. It's almost like a straight drop down to a ravine that goes down to like a V that's like 12, 14 feet deep. Luckily, the workman got caught on like a rock on the side. It was mostly submerged. It went in running, of course, so filled the entire engine with water. And we had to pull that out with a Kubota loader. We were able to. And yeah, that was a pretty, that was like, you know, first couple months on the job. I was like, man, sign up for
it. Right. Yep. It's all downhill for beer.
Yeah.
No, that's, I mean, it happens. Yeah. I would be willing to say any course in the history of golf courses is some kind of vehicle and some type of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Knock on wood. We've been pretty lucky here in the last few years, but it's coming around, I'm sure.
No waterlogged vehicle.
Yeah, I will have one this week probably. So you talked about an assistant mechanic or assistant tech, or you didn't like the word assistant.
I don't know. So, I just like, I feel kind of weird when I say that. And maybe it's just because I've only been, you know, I'm a new equipment manager, I guess. You know, I've been doing it a little over 2 years now. And I don't know why it just bothers me. I don't like to call them.
No. I get it. Yeah. I understand that. So who's your mentor in the industry? Who taught you the ropes?
So my initial equipment manager that hired me and taught me everything I know, I would say has been my main mentor. Also, I would say too, my current director where I am is definitely also on that list. They both pushed me towards all the education that GCSAA offers. My original equipment manager pushed me towards doing the level one certification process, which I had mostly finished before I left to go be an equipment manager. And then I was kind of dragging my feet a little bit when I got to this new place. Mm-hmm. And my current director was the one that gave me the push that was like, you know, this is what you need to do to take the next steps in your career, to continue to learn, to continue to grow. And those two guys, man, have definitely helped guide me in this industry and get me where I am today. So I wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah. What's their name?
So Ken Walker from Banyan Golf Club. He's actually about to retire. So yeah, he was there for a long time. I think close to 20 years. And Andrew Fike at Wycliffe, where I'm at currently. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, what would we do without mentors? And
yeah,
everybody I've asked that question to, you know, normally has some, you know, they can name a couple people, and then there's other ones name everybody.
Yeah. Like, no, there's really a much been, longer, you know, list.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, and I wasn't calling you out on that.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting to look back at your career, my career, whatever, one's career, and see who all had really mentored you over the years. And so if you've been doing something for a long time, and I talk about him enough on this podcast, but a good friend of mine, his name's Tom Davenhall, and he's a blacksmith. And I was fortunate enough to work in his shop for 6 months. And I didn't really, you know, at the time I enjoyed it and it was cool and all those things. I was learning stuff, but I wasn't realizing how much I learned in those 6 months about metalworking, fabrication, and all that stuff. Running a lathe, running the milling machine, forging stuff, you know, I mean, just all these different things that I'd never done at a golf course before.
Yeah, that's
working in the turf industry. But apply to what I do today. So, and like the people that I got working in the shop with me, I show them how to use a drill press, just like Tom showed me how to use a drill press. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd use the drill press 100 times before I've, you know, worked with him. But he's like, well, this is the way I do it. You know, you start small, go up 16th at a time. That's a little overkill for a lot of people, but it saves your drill bits. And it takes a little bit more time. But your drill bits don't get as dull because you're not cutting as much. So, I mean, absolutely. It's just, you know, little stuff like that that you can pick up from different people.
I think I think there's a big difference in doing stuff and doing stuff the right way. There's like a clear line, you know, like how he was showing you the kind of the correct way. Things. And not that there's not a couple different correct ways, but I know I've learned some things early on in my career that now I look back and I go, you know, wow, that was not the right way to do this or that. And yeah, there's definitely more efficient ways to do things than others.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Where I was going with that.
Well, yeah. And like another example that just come to mind is a cutting torch or oxygen acetylene torch. And you can weld with it. You can cut with it. You can heat stuff up.
Yeah.
You can braise stuff together. You know, I mean, there's all these uses for it.
Right.
And it's probably one of the most underutilized tools there is because there's all these other tools that's kind of replaced it. So you got a TIG welder. Yeah. It's a whole lot easier to TIG weld something than it is to gas weld it.
Yeah.
But if you're in a pinch, you know, you can do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I learned those skills from him too. And I remember using like a cutting torch back in the day. And I mean, I would have all this slag, but I didn't have my torch set up the right way. If you get it set up right, it's almost like using a plasma cutter
for
the amount of slag and stuff you get.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Proper setup.
Just like you're saying, if you don't, you can use the tool the wrong way for sure. Yeah.
And
I've done it many times.
Yeah. Funny enough, when I brought on one of my techs, the most recent hire, he was a welder previously before coming to me. And he actually showed us a lot of things with the setting on the welder that I just didn't know. You know, I mean, my welds were fine. They were holding, but they weren't the prettiest thing in the world. But he was showing me all these adjustments and things that I just never had anybody teach me before. And it made, you know, welding easier for us, you know, more efficient. It looked better. I mean, it was just all the way around like a great asset to the shop. You know, bringing somebody like that in and just getting that information.
I mean, I've hired enough people over years. It's funny what you learn from all of them when, you know, you're, I guess, supposed to be the mentor and teaching them all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have an open mind, you can learn a lot from anybody, really. And I think it's awesome to hire in somebody like that and let him train you on how to weld.
Yeah.
He's the subject matter expert.
Right. Yeah. Why not?
That's his domain. So, yeah.
Yeah. Why not lean on that knowledge?
What's up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Well, what would be your dream job or opportunity?
I would probably say fishing guide would probably be my dream job or opportunity. I don't know that there's a lot of money in it, but maybe if you're really good. But yeah, I would say just if I'm not in the shop or hanging out with my girlfriend and dog, I'm usually on the water. So
yeah, that's good.
I can make a career out of that. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Just remember, when it turns into work, that takes some of the fun away.
I've heard that. I've heard that could ruin my hobby from quite a few people.
Oh. Well, and so speaking from experience, I've fished tournaments for 6 years.
Okay.
And we fished at least once a week year round, no matter what. And in the summertime, we would fish Monday night, Wednesday night, and every other Saturday night. And I'll be honest, I got burned out.
There were times you didn't want to go.
Yeah. And well, yeah, there was plenty of times I didn't want to go. And then the other thing, you know, fishing here, to be competitive, you had to put out brush piles. So we would cut down 20-foot sweet gum trees, you know, 20-foot tall, cut them, sink them in certain areas of the lake.
Yeah.
And the most we ever put out in one summer was 60 trees. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's
and on a weak summer, we would put out 25 or 30.
Oh my gosh!
And that's a lot of work.
You just mark them and go back tournament time. Hope some bass get you know congregate on them. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, I mean, not to get too far in this rabbit.
Yeah, hole, I understand.
But they're good. They're good for 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
After you put them in.
Yeah,
and then they kind of start going downhill, and then you can use them some in the wintertime. We would pull them out, you know, so nobody would hit them, because this lake, they pull it down 16 feet every winter.
Okay.
So, and most of the brush piles, we'd put in was 18 to 20 feet. So, anyway, I'm giving away all my secrets here.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good, because I retired. Yeah. I retired last September. From professional fishing, I guess you would say, or tournament fishing.
Yeah. I want to tell you about a great product that I've been using, Task Tracker. Now, I know what you're thinking. Task Tracker is for labor, but I'm here to tell you it's also an easy-to-use equipment maintenance platform. Employees can scan QR codes and send notes about the condition of equipment, and the equipment can be assigned to employees, making them more accountable. I encourage you to reach out to Jamie and Gerald, the founders of ASB Task Tracker, at asbtasktracker.com to schedule a demo and see how easy the platform is to use. Again, that's asbtasktracker.com. Let's get back to the episode.
What technician would you like to work with for a day?
So I got two. So kind of going back to, you were talking about working with that blacksmith. I have almost listened to every episode of the Real Turf Techs podcast.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So
for being a listener and a guest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get a lot of my information from you guys. So it's a great resource. J.R. Wilson, he was talking about like the forge. I've got that right, right? He was the one that was talking about having a forge and doing his own metalwork. I just would love to see that process. I've never seen in person anything like, I've seen like forged at Fire on TV, but
yeah.
I mean, I think to see it in person would be like amazing. And he touched on a lot of other stuff that really just after listening to that, I was like, wow, man, that is definitely somebody that I would like to work with.
Also, before you go to the next one.
Okay.
JR, he's a special individual. I mean, he's sounds a dear like friend.
Him. Yeah.
But he is so smart. So smart.
I love and, that.
I was giving him a hard time when I went up to visit. But everything in his shop, he's modified.
Really?
That's awesome. To make it better.
Yeah.
And, I was giving, I was busting his chops a little bit. Like, nothing's good enough for you, JR. You have to make it better.
Custom.
He does. I mean, he makes everything better. And I think back to his forge thing, he was forging tines or heating tines up in a forge and heat treating them.
That's so crazy. That's
making his own tines.
That's next level stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I would encourage you to look on the interwebs, and there is probably a local blacksmith guild somewhere in your area.
Yeah,
I know here it's the Alex Beeler Blacksmith Guild, and they meet the third Saturday of the month. And it's free game. Anybody can show up, hang out, like in March. Ours is it's coming up this Saturday, and I want to try to go because it's not too far from my house.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they got stuff in Florida. And I know one of the parks in City of Roswell, they have an outdoor space and they do some blacksmith classes.
Wow.
Because a guy I know teaches some of them over there.
Yeah.
And he talked about forged and fired. So I got to give a shout out to another blacksmith friend of mine, Michael Dillon. He won forged and fired.
Oh, nice.
And he created, I can't remember the episode number. It's like 42 or 43, but it was the elephant sword forged and fired.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to maybe look through the archive and find that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Find That's that cool. one because yeah. Michael, he's an awesome dude. He only lived like 15 minutes from my house. I drive by his house every day to work.
Yeah.
I actually just bought a lathe from him and haven't picked up yet. I bought That's it amazing. In March and I hadn't picked it up. But I mean, it's really cool to meet these guys. Just like the lathe thing. It's an old South Bend lathe, and he bought a new lathe, and he was getting rid of it, and it was a really good deal. Too good I couldn't pass up. And I wouldn't go out and spend 10 grand on one, but if I can get one for $1,000 from my buddy,
absolutely.
Why not? So here we are. And I mean, it's networking, and we talk about on the podcast all the time about networking.
Yep.
But for the listeners, don't just network with other equipment managers, find a blacksmith guild, if you're into diving or you're into fishing, network in some different places, and who knows what might come out of that.
That's a great point. It really is. Yeah.
Well, yeah, sorry.
Oh, no.
I hijacked you there. Who was the second person?
I was just going to say Skip Hines. That episode also, I really enjoyed. It just sounds like he has a really deep technical understanding for a lot of this stuff. And I would just, I would love to see the process. It sounded like he had a couple other things going on outside of the shop. That's pretty incredible that he runs both the shop and the sounded like the clubhouse maintenance as well. That'd be quite an undertaking, so I just think it would be cool to kind of see his operation. It sounds like a pretty good one. So
how far is he from you?
He's not that far.
That's what I was thinking.
I was talking to one of my reps and they know him somewhat well, so I was thinking about maybe using him as kind of a segue to maybe make a connection there. And why don't you make it come over one day?
You can make a connection right here on the Real Turf Techs podcast. I will give you Skip Hines' number and you can call him anytime. He's an nice. Awesome guy.
Yeah, I would really appreciate it.
Always more than happy to help where he can. I will warn you, he likes to talk.
I think that's okay.
So, yeah, he likes to talk. But, I mean, he's an awesome dude. We love Skip. It was good. I done his CTAMA testing.
Did you?
Yeah. So,
and it's cool.
I mean, he's a good guy, man. Really good. And, yeah, I will definitely pass that along.
I'd really appreciate that.
What do you know now you wish you'd known on day one?
The value of networking, what we were just talking about.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm going to say probably for the first, as an assistant, I did zero networking, which was definitely a mistake in hindsight. And I kind of carried that over once I became an equipment manager. And I recently have started networking, and I credit a lot of it too to things like this podcast, to the CTEM process, to the GCSA trade show. I went for the first time in Orlando, and it's just showed me the value that networking brings, and that we can't do this alone. You know, I mean, there are resources out there. Why make your job harder by isolating in a bubble and, you know, refusing to branch out and talk to other people? It's been so valuable for me. I can't stress enough how important that aspect of the job is for me.
No, I agree. For everybody. If you're not, if you're the grumpy old guy that just wants to get his check and go home, more power to you. But if you enjoy what you do and you want some help, you want to make some friends, you want somebody you can lean on, somebody you can talk to, you know, just that work.
Yeah.
And I've been so impressed. I mean, ever since the WhatsApp group started, I've been impressed. But especially recently, looking at what all goes on in there, somebody asked a question, 5 minutes later, they got an answer. I mean, it's, you don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, and every one of those guys in there and gals, shout out to Kayla and Shelby. They just want to help. Everybody wants to help.
I really appreciate you guys creating that pathway as well. I mean, it wouldn't have been possible without you guys. So I just want to say thank you. And like you were just saying, I mean, this is more than a job for me. And it's, you know, it's my career. And I really like that there are places and groups where people have that same mindset. And just, you know, the value that brings me it's awesome. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I need to get in there, I guess, and tell about, we have another group. It's called the BS group. You know, there's a lot of the same people. There's not near as many people in it. But it's more of if you just want to vent about something.
Or,
you know, it's not like, look at this. Can you believe this happened? And, you know, because the Real Turf Tax group, I wanted to keep it only professional. And, you know, a little banter going on back and forth. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But when I first started it, I said that it would never be like Facebook, where you had to preface a question with, you'd only been in the industry a short time. Please don't beat me up when I ask this question. I mean, you shouldn't have to do any of that. Just ask your question, give somebody an honest answer, and move on with your day.
I'm going to be honest. I am definitely that guy that is hesitant to post questions sometimes because, you know, I don't want it to be an easy answer that I'm just not seeing and look kind of like a dummy, but I need to get over that. That's just kind of, I mean, maybe one of my flaws is I don't like to appear to know that I don't know what's going on, but I'm definitely not a know-it-all. So I just got to get over it.
If you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And I promise you, everyone in that group at some point didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't come out of the womb knowing that all the things that we know now. You learn over time, and we're all learning. And I think everybody in the group is really understanding of that. And I've never seen them look down on somebody that was newer to the industry, because we've all been there at some point.
Yeah.
And I'll be straight up, and this is for anybody in the group, if you are that person and you want to talk down to somebody, you're not in the group anymore. Life's too short for that. It's not going to be tolerated. But I appreciate everybody in there. I mean, there's just so many knowledgeable people in there, and they've been doing it so long. It's a lot of the stuff is second nature.
For sure.
So something that you're struggling with, just ask the question.
I'll do it.
I know it's easier said than done, but just do it.
For sure.
Well, and I mean, it doesn't only help you. I mean, it helps all of us too.
Yeah.
Because somebody else might be struggling with that. Or say, for this instance, you ask the question, somebody gives you the answer to this question. And then 2 weeks later, I have the same problem. Mm-hmm. And I saw it in the group, and I said, oh, this is what's happening on that unit.
Yeah.
Because, and I've talked about this, like when me and Corey Phillips was working for Jerry Payton, the Toro distributor, we were talking every single day because we had so much window time driving around. And he's like, have you seen this on the 5010 series fairway mowers? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I haven't. And then I would start looking for it. I'm like, okay, yep, everyone I look at has got this problem on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of us are running. I mean, there's not that many equipment manufacturers out there. So a lot of us are still, you know, we're running a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it be Toro or Digger or Jake or whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. How do you deal with that person?
So I try to be patient. I really don't lose my temper too often, just because I've found over the years that people don't respond well to yelling and just insults, things of that nature. People typically respond better when you don't lose your cool, when you explain to them the right way to go about something. And now if they continue to do that, that's a different story, different conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty much like a three strike rule guy. Like, I'm going to give you one or two. And if you continue to do the same thing, then we're going to go another route. I do still try to keep my cool though. I try not to blow up. I've worked with a lot of guys in the past that blew up on people often, and it did seem like there was a larger percentage of broken equipment, you know, in the mm-hmm. days that follow when you blow up on somebody versus if you go about it in a little more mild manner way. So yeah, that's probably my best tip for that, is try to be patient and don't lose your cool. Some things warrant it. I get that. But for the most part, just be patient. Don't lose your cool.
No, it's great advice for sure.
Yeah. Get ready for tips and tricks.
What kind of tips and tricks you want to share with us?
I don't have a whole lot of tricks of my own. I have started recently. I got into checking the electrical, like checking with electrical issues with the infrared gun. And I'm trying to get the infrared scan gun. Kind of goes back to that. I think it was one of Skip Hines' tips and tricks. He was talking about the infrared camera. And being able to see, you know, various electrical issues and things that way. That's something I never thought about. I'm really good with my multimeter. I've had pretty good success doing it that way. But this is so interesting to me, that different take on it. And I'd never heard anybody talk about using that kind of technology for that. So it's something that I'm playing around with now. And I would tell anybody, I've found some pretty cool stuff so far. So, or had good success with it so far. So yeah, I would tell anybody to kind of look a little bit more into that. It can be a big time saver, I've found, versus going through with the multimeter and you know, and that route. So, and then tips, I'll probably go back to it 100 times, the networking thing, man. Just get to know the guys around you, and where whatever you're weak in, find somebody who's strong in it. So you have somebody to lean on. Because I got a lot of strengths, but I got a lot of weaknesses too. So I'm starting to kind of develop that network to and hopefully get a nice balance of all stuff.
Right, right. Well, I know I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. Yeah. We had a little local group of us technicians in North Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And that would get together, you know, 10 of us or something. And it's just like you're saying this while I'm telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us had our strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we all have different strengths, if you will.
Yes. So, yeah.
And like one guy in the group, he was so good at two-stroke stuff.
Yeah.
And I hate two-stroke.
I do.
I mean, I understand it. I'm decent
yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anytime I have a two-stroke problem, I'd call him.
It's frustrating and
like,
finicky.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he'd been doing it for so long because previously he was like a small engine shop.
Okay.
Like he owned a few small engine shops and he'd been doing that pretty much his whole life before he got into the golf course stuff.
Yeah.
And another guy was really good on sprayers. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's just finding those people in your network that you can rely on.
Yeah.
And I think I told the story just the other day on the podcast about we demoed a unit and I had to grind it. I didn't have a bed knife for it. So I called the guy down the road.
Like, yeah.
Because I knew he ran those, that same mm-hmm. mower. So
yep.
you got an extra bed knife, I'll get you back, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so awesome.
Yeah. That's huge too. I mean, to have a network like that, it's just, sure.
Let's talk about CTM.
Yes. Well, let's talk about CTM.
Yeah. What was your experience with CTM?
So my experience with CTM was really positive. I think for me, like I said, I was kind of shut off to the rest of the world when I took the position as the equipment manager. And I would say, you know, my shop was most of the way there with a lot of that stuff. I would say maybe 75%. Mm-hmm. And it was like my first real kind of insight into exactly what we needed to have in place as far as really the safety measures were the big thing for me, because how I was kind of doing it before is we had an insurance guy that comes once a year to walk through, and kind of my understanding was, you know, if the insurance guy walks through with me, I asked him, you know, I said, what all are you guys looking for? I kind of looked to him as like the safety master, and he would always be super impressed with the shop. He'd be like, oh, this is amazing. You know, you've got everything as far as I'm concerned in place. And it was probably a lack of due diligence on my end. But like I said, there were probably, you know, 20-25% of things on that CTEM that I needed to adjust. And now that gives me peace of mind knowing I have all that in place. I have everything for my guys to be safe, for the crew to be safe. And that's huge, because I do want to give them the optimum environment to learn and grow. And be safe, obviously. So that was kind of what it was for me, was it gave me a lot of that information that I didn't know, if that makes sense.
Right.
It also, I mean, the level one stuff, the level two stuff, that was all great information for me as well, and kind of sparked, I would go through the book, and then that would typically spark me going down like a rabbit hole. Let's just say it was like the hydraulic stuff. Now I go down like a new rabbit hole, and I would learn on top of what I learned in the book, I would learn 10 other things that I didn't know. And really with all of those, I was able to gain a lot more knowledge as far as all those individual certifications go. I was able to just, it gave me the push to do a deeper dive. And because I was, you know, the way I was taught was kind of under one guy, it was one way. I thought it was a pretty good way, and it was, mm-hmm. but there is so much more out there that I was unaware of before I went through this process. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to go through it and the knowledge that I gained from it. And anybody who hasn't done it, I highly recommend it. not only do you get certifications and various things to, you know, show your superiors that you know what you're talking about, but it also gives you that personal development, the personal growth as well. So I would say, yeah, it was super beneficial to my career and has given me a lot more confidence as well, knowing that I'm doing things the right way.
No, that's really awesome to hear. You also gained confidence. So not only knowledge.
Yeah.
And I have heard some other people say something similar, and I don't remember exactly how they said it, but talking about acid level one and level two, when you're in your own little bubble, doing your own little thing.
That's me.
You don't.
Not anymore.
You know, you don't. Well, right. But you don't really know what, you don't know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. But when you pass that exam, you're like, okay, I guess I kind of do know this stuff.
Right, you're right.
You
right.
know, if you're unsure about yourself or your knowledge level or whatever. And same thing with the whole CTM process. I would encourage anybody to do it because, you're going to learn more. You're going to get your shot to be safer for not just you, but everyone else that works there. And then the other cool thing, I don't know if you're thinking about doing it or not, but now you can be in a tester for other CTAMs.
So I just went through the training and
waiting
to hear from Diane on the next attessment, and I'm going to sit in on. So I'm super interested in it.
It's a lot of fun. I don't know how many I've done so far, but quite a few. And it's kind of like doing this interview. You get to meet somebody you've maybe never seen before, and you get to see their shop, and you get new ideas from seeing their shop.
That's it. Yeah.
As like a virtual shop tour, if you will.
Yeah.
Speaking, I mean, there's another $1 million idea. We need to start doing virtual shop tours.
Yeah, that is $1 million idea.
Yeah. They just come to me. And like Greg Wombles, if you've listened to that episode, it was not too long ago.
Yes.
We're really good at coming up with ideas. We just suck at the follow through.
That is the truth. That is like, I've never heard a better way to put it. That's it.
Yeah. Greg's another really good one. I would encourage you all, I'm spitballing here while I'm thinking about it. I would encourage you to come to the Carolina show if you have the opportunity.
I'm from South Carolina, born and raised. So,
All right. Well, come up there and see the folks come see us in Myrtle.
Yes. When is that?
It's usually right before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like second week of November or something.
Yeah.
And it's $45 if you can afford that.
I think I could get it in the budget.
Well, I don't remember the exact cost, but you could be a member of TTAC for $45 and you get in to the show.
So you don't have to live in the state to be part of TTAC? Okay. Yeah. I've seen TTAC post a lot of stuff. I just thought it was maybe a local thing. I'll definitely.
It is for the Carolinas, if you will, but I don't think that the mind if you're in Florida or Georgia or wherever they'll take your money, just like any other association.
I want to say one other thing about CTIM. It was just, if you're listening to this and you're out there and you are afraid of the attesting process, don't be, because I was so afraid to schedule a date to have the attesting, because I was afraid of I don't know. I was just afraid of I'm going to show my shop to these people. And what if they think this is horrible, and it's not right. But that was the exact opposite of my experience. It was not, it's nothing to be afraid of. They give you everything in the rubric right there, ready to go. And I promise you that you'll learn something from it. I don't think there's anybody out there that hasn't gone through it that can go through that rubric and not find at least one or two things in your shop that you need to fix. Because little stuff gets past all of us. I mean, we get busy and caught up.
Yeah.
It just gives you that kind of, it gives you it on paper to go check and keep yourself honest. That's the best way I could put it.
Yeah. And one, another thing that I've said before is with that rubric, if you're trying to get some safety stuff implemented around your shop, the rubric can help you do, because you can take that to whoever you got to take it to and say, you know, this is part of the process. This is something they recommend. I think this is a good idea. You know, so it's not just you going to your supervisor saying, I want to put a fire extinguisher here.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, whatever the scenario is.
That's the exact response I got from my director. Like I said, there was, you know, 20 to 25% of that we needed to tighten up. I went to him, you know, and I said, hey, these are areas that we're weak in and we need to get resolved. And I can do that. Just as long as I have your blessing, I'm going to go, you know, make it happen. So, and he was obviously, like I said, super supportive throughout this whole process. And yeah, it's a great awesome. Opportunity. There.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
No. Well, and the other thing for anybody that's thinking about it, or if you got questions about it, reach out to somebody else. That's a CTM. Ask them what the experience was like.
Yeah. Give me a shout. Anybody,
Right. Anybody, but John, me, I mean, there's quite a few of us now. I think, I don't remember, we're up to 25 or 26.
I think it was, I don't know if anybody's got it since I did it. I think Diane said it was 25, number 25.
Okay.
So, but I want to see everybody get it. I want to see everybody do better. I don't, you know,
this is not
about gatekeeping or anything. Like, let's get everybody in.
Yeah. More the merrier.
Yeah.
But yeah, reach out to a fellow CTM or call Diana if you don't know a fellow CTM, and she'll give one of our numbers away if you got extra questions. And when I was up at the Travelers Tournament, we talked a little bit about that before we got started here. Bob was thinking about getting the CTM. So he was asking all these questions. We went through the whole rubric and all the stuff in his shop. And so,
great.
You might have to do this. All that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because he was a little nervous about some of the stuff. So it's perfectly fine to be nervous, but it's not a big deal. You will figure it out.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody. Network.
That's it. That's the theme of the podcast here.
That's right. Network.
My theme is going to be networking. So,
we're going to call this John Watson CTM Networking.
Yes.
That's what the name of this one's going to be. No. You ready to do some rapid fire?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. What's your favorite movie?
Friday the 13th, the whole series. I'm a big slasher guy.
Wow.
Love it.
All right.
I love Halloween too, but Friday the 13th, number one.
Yeah. Awesome. Jason.
Yes.
What would be your last move?
So there's a pizza place near me called Gino's Pizza. Pizza's kind of a silly answer, but I'm telling you, if you're ever in South Florida, get Gino's Pizza. It's the greatest pizza ever made. It's
awesome. Gino's.
Yeah. Shout out to Gino.
Yeah. I don't think there's any crazy answers.
Yes.
But I will say the one that caught me by surprise was Taco Bell.
Oh, man. I love Taco Bell too.
Well, I mean, Taco Bell's fine, but I don't know that would be my last bill. Sorry. What are you most proud of besides your family?
So besides family, because that is a big one, but probably just my career thus far and finding a career that I enjoy going to work every day. I really love what I do. And it's something that if you had asked me, you know, 10, 15 years ago, if I'd be here, you know, absolutely not. But it's been a great run so far. And I hope it lasts a lot longer. So
absolutely. Tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you. You on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I'm not a bot. I promise. I just did created an account, you know, a long time ago, but I didn't actually put the thing in. So it's kind of long. It's JON811777739.
Okay. We're going to save the listeners a lot of trouble. And I will find that. And we will tag you.
Yes,
this episode gets released for sure.
And reach out with any questions regarding CTEM or anything. I'm open book. Just don't hesitate to ask.
I want you to take your own advice in the WhatsApp group.
I know. I'm going to do that.
Take
I'm
it, man.
I'm going to do it.
Do it. I expect to see a question tomorrow.
All right. Oh, no.
I'm putting you on the spot. Thank you so much, John, for being on. This has been a blast as always. And thanks everybody else for listening. I hope you enjoy this one. Summertime is upon us. And I mean, it is wide open around here, but that's what we do. It's go time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Real Turf Techs podcast. I hope you learned something today. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any topics you would like to discuss or you'd like to be a guest, find us on Twitter @RealTurfTechs. See you bye.